NBA season is suspended indefinitely because of the coronavirus pandemic, but Warriors Off Court is still going. I'm Connell Letourneau, and even though I'm sheltering in place at my apartment in Alameda, I'm still bringing you the news about the Warriors and the NBA. How players like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are handling the shutdown, how the coronavirus crisis will change the team's plans, and how basketball can get back to normal. It's all here on Warriors Off Court, which can be found on your favorite podcast app. On today's episode of Warriors Off Court, I'm joined by Kevin Dana, the longtime play-by-play announcer for the Santa Cruz Warriors, to discuss Thursday's news that top recruit Jalen Green will forgo college to join a reshaped NBA professional pathway program that's partnering with the G League. During our conversation, we went in-depth on how this program could change draft evaluation, and for that matter, college recruiting as we know it.
Kevin, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. As you know, as our listeners know at this point, you are my go-to guy for everything G League. And the G League has come up quite a lot this season. The Warriors lead very heavily on Santa Cruz. A lot of pertinent storylines going on down there. And today, there was G League-related news that could have a massive impact on not only the NBA, not only the G League, but recruiting in general, NCAA, other professional leagues overseas. Kevin, when you heard that Jalen Green, the top recruit in the 2020 class, projected number one pick in the 2021 draft, was going to go to the G League and join this new player development program through the G League, what were your initial thoughts?
The phrase that kind of came to me initially was, it's a monumental moment for this league. Now, kind of thought we were going to get it last year with Darius Bazley. He said he was going to go play in the G League, and of course got that internship worth like $1 million, I believe, and it worked out for him, became first-round pick with Oklahoma City. But this was kind of, there's kind of two frontiers that the G League, I think, was hoping to cross in the near future that would really kind of legitimize it in the eyes of people who don't work in the G League. I think people in the NBA and G League recognize it, its value and its worth. But to kind of legitimize it to the public, two things I think needed to happen. One of them was to get like NBA All-Stars doing rehab assignments in G League games, not just practices. With Steph Curry practicing with Golden State, definitely with Santa Cruz, I should say. But the next step would be for that All-Star to play in a G League game. And then the other one was to get a five-star, top five-ish recruit out of high school to play in the G League for a season. Thought we were going to get that with Bazley last year, get it with Jalen Green this year, and now there are reports that guy Isaiah Todd, I believe his name is, who decommitted from Michigan, might be a part of this. And then there's a few other names that they think could be part of this new G League, affiliated team, kind of not exactly a G League team per se as far as competing for a G League title, but it's huge. And yeah, it might not change the everyday life for G League players and coaches who aren't affiliated with this team, but any exposure that the G League can get as a result, I mean, it's there to serve the NBA. And this is a huge thing for the G League to be able to kind of better develop prospects or further kind of the NBA's mission statement of developing young talent. This is a huge day for the G League.
I give Adam Silver and Sharif Abdur-Rahim, Sharif, who's, is he the president of the G League? The president of the G League, former Cal guy, a lot of credit for how they went about this because they basically saw that there was a need and they needed to fix it. The fact that guys like LaMelo Ball and RJ Hampton were traveling all the way across the world to play in the Australian League for one season before going to the NBA just doesn't really reflect well on the developmental system that the NBA was trying to build in the G League. And I think the problem was, even though they had good intentions last year when they initially unveiled this pro pathway, and I think that, you know, there was a good idea there with guys making 125 $1,000 and things like that, I think they realized pretty quickly that they needed to do much more to entice these high-level guys, because these guys have a lot of options. You know, they could go to one of many different professional leagues overseas. They could go to the blue blood college programs, or they could just sit at home and sign endorsement deals and wait until draft day. And those are all honestly viable options for someone like that. And I think the problem with the last model of this pro pathway was that, you know, there were the money probably wasn't good enough. 125 is not near what guys were getting paid in Australia and some other overseas leagues. The other thing is that I think there were a lot of concerns from these players and their families about being thrown into some random, you know, small market, small town type team where you're living on your own in, say, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, or Stockton, California, or something like that, and you're forced to be an adult right away and go up against high-level basketball players who might not have the greatest reputation because they're not in the NBA, but you and I both know, having been around this league, that a lot of these guys who are in the G League are guys who are just as good as, you know, a quarter of the guys currently in the NBA. So if they're not holding their own against these guys physically, maybe they're not ready. I think a lot of outsiders might look at that and think it reflects really poorly, or that they're not living up to the hype given just the reputation of the G League. So I think there were a lot of understandable trepidations, and that's ultimately why Baisley backed out and Rich Paul, his agent, convinced him not to go forward with that plan. And so I give Sharif Abdur-Rahim and Adam Silver a ton of credit in looking at what do these guys want and what do we need to do to make this a viable option.
Yeah, no, I agree with that assessment 100%, because, yeah, it's one thing, you know, playing against, you know, top five recruits from Kentucky who, you know, could project to be very good players, or they could project to be guys who play 2 to 3 years in the NBA, and then playing against, say, like a 33-year-old point guard like Jeremy Pargo, who we know has NBA-level talent. He showed it when he was with Golden State this year. There just wasn't a spot full-time for him. Going up against a guy like that who was in his prime, or just a little bit past his prime, who is playing at a very high level. I mean, those kind of guys, those veteran guards, and, you know, veteran players could expose 18 to 19-year-olds. So I think how they have kind of set this up is, well, maybe it's not like from a G League fan's perspective, for those who do follow the G League rather regularly, like, all right, you probably wish you could see them play 50 games a season again and be like on a team for like a local market, but it doesn't necessarily make sense for these high school kids to do it like that for the reasons you mentioned. So, you know, I was reading some ESPN article. It looks like maybe 10 to 12 games, exhibition foul against G League teams. Then you play against, like, international academies or other national teams from what I read. I think that's a really nice setup for these guys. And, do something a little bit different to make sure that you're getting these guys here in the first place. Up the money, I read one report that Sam Mitchell is a candidate to be a coach for this team. Yeah, I mean, we'll see if that happens, but, you know, like a coach like that mentoring these 18, 19-year-olds, and you mix them with veterans, and I think it's a great setup for these top high school prospects who are going to be 1 year out of secondary school.
Yeah, there's still a lot of questions, but if, let's say, they can get 5, 6 high-level recruits and put them on this team with Jalen, which seems realistic given the top level guys who have yet to commit anywhere. Guys like Kai Soto, Thon Maker's younger brother, you know, these are guys who would make a lot of sense. Obviously, Isaiah Todd, who you mentioned earlier, would make a lot of sense to go this route. If you can put those guys on a team with Jalen and then round out that roster with kind of the Jeremy Pargos of the world, with those guys who are well aware that you know, their NBA ambitions are probably over, but they have some NBA experience and they have some high-level extended professional experience. Those guys can come in and mentor, you know, these future potential stars in the NBA on a daily basis. And to me, that sounds like an amazing opportunity for everyone involved. I know talking to someone like Jeremy, he seems like the type of guy that would really enjoy that type of opportunity, you know, because a lot of these guys who've been through the ups and downs, they want to give back, you know, they want to help bring along that next generation. And I think a lot of these guys would be really excited about that kind of opportunity. And there's also those guys out there who maybe, you know, still feel like they want an opportunity in the NBA or want some bigger professional opportunities. And there's going to be so many scouts and so much attention on this team. You know, not only are they going to be at every game or exhibition that this team plays, but I'm sure there's going to be open practices and a lot of things like that. And so, you know, this is going to be a sought after team in a lot of ways. And from what we're hearing, it's probably going to be based out of LA, which is not Hidalgo, Texas. It's not Stockton. It's not Sioux Falls. It's not Erie, Pennsylvania. So to me, this, if I'm someone like Jalen Green, if I'm someone like Kai Soto or a five-star guy with definite lottery potential, there is minimal downside to this path. I mean, I know it's new, and so there's always some risk involved with anything that's new. But Sharif Abdur-Rahim and Adam Silver have done such a good job of eliminating every concern these guys could possibly have.
Yeah, and that's a good point. The one thing I am curious about, we're talking about how it's a possible for veterans who would be on this team. I am curious as to, like, the type of veteran that is attracted to this offer and would end up playing with the Jalen Greens and Sonos and Makers potentially of the world. Is it going to be a guy like Jeremy Parker, who is 33 and is, you know, thinking about a potentially, you know, life after basketball as a coach or something? Is it going to be the 24, 25-year-old guys who are looking for their first shot in the NBA? Do they see this as their best option? Is it, you know, the 26, 27-year-old guys who maybe have had 2 years of NBA experience? Do they see this as a route back to the NBA? And I'm curious as to, like, how much these veterans would get paid. Because, all right, they're saying $500,000 for these 18 to 19-year-old kids. Now, are you going to have a 30-year-old or 26-year-old? Is he going to be on a standard G League contract of $35,000 without an NBA affiliation? I think that part is going to be really interesting to see how that plays out, because, yeah, there are going to be a lot of eyes on their games, but they're going to be playing fewer games. And so I think that's an interesting trade-off that the veterans will have to weigh.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a really interesting point, but, you know, one of the things that I definitely thought about when, you know, they initially announced this pro pathway last year, and obviously it didn't get really much traction, was just the locker room dynamics in the G League. The G League environment is a fascinating environment. It's part of why I love writing about it. There's so many different personalities, people who have different types of stories, and a lot of guys, you know, in the G League are striving to make it to the NBA, and that can mean that they want shots, they want minutes, you know. And I think that's the hardest part about being a coach in the G League is learning how, is figuring out how to have some sort of roster and on-court cohesion when you have all these guys trying to get numbers up to make it to the league. And it would have been fascinating and potentially disastrous, I think, to have a 18-year-old kid who's never played professional basketball go into a G League locker room with guys who've been fighting and clawing just for an opportunity to be seen by NBA scouts and be making exponentially more than them.
Yeah.
And potentially be taking away minutes from guys who are two-way guys or are trying to land an NBA contract, that would be, I think that would be tough. The thing about this situation and this pro pathway is that whoever ends up going to this team is not a recruit. You know, we keep bringing up Jeremy Parker, but those types of guys who end up deciding to go to this team, they're going to know what the situation is before they go there. So they're going to be signing on and agreeing to it, knowing that Jalen Green is making way more money than they will be making. And so there, I think that can help mitigate potential issues because everyone involved knows the situation. Whereas if Darius Bazley had ended up going to the G League, whatever team he ends up on, a lot of those guys didn't necessarily sign up to be playing with a Darius Bazley. So Darius Bazley shows up and it's like, cool, bro. Like, you know, I'm actually even better than you and you're making five times what I'm making. That's really not cool.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's true. I guess what I'm curious to see is, like, who are the kinds of veterans that, like, sign up for this? Like, how many veterans would be interested in an opportunity like this? They're going to need, if they get five or six players, like, from, you know, the class of 2020, then they're going to need, you know, four to five veterans. Like, is there going to be a line out the door of these kind of veteran players, or is it going to be a much smaller pool? I'm just curious to see, like, kind of how that breaks down.
We'll have more of my conversation with Kevin Dana right after the break.
One thing that's interesting is how this whole thing kind of came together. Normally, when you have a major announcement like this, you would just, you know, have a big press release, maybe have a news conference. I know that would be tough given the current state of things, but you could do it on Zoom or what have you. You would have something to get out in front of it. But what happened was Jalen Green announces that he's going to the G League. He says that he's going to this pro pathway thing. And when he said it, you know, I've written extensively. I wrote a big feature on Jalen recently. I've spent time with him. I was even confused by what exactly that meant. I'm thinking, is he going to a team? Is this something else? Like, I know that there was the pro pathway, but the way he announced it kind of made it sound like he wasn't going to an actual team that exists currently. So I was confused. And then shortly thereafter, ESPN drops a report with full quotes from Sharif Abdur-Rahim and other guys, so you know that they'd already reported this, detailing the intricacies of this situation. So my understanding, and this is just an assumption based off the series of the timeline of events, is that the G League decided we need a guy who's going to be the face of this, a guy who can bring excitement to this and legitimize this. Jalen Green is the perfect player to be that guy because Jalen Green is one of the best high school prospects in the past decade. He's drawn comparisons to LeBron James, to Kobe Bryant. I've watched all his highlights. I've spent time with him. I've seen him shoot, seen him play. He is a guy who I honestly think could help an NBA team right now. And he is, to me, a sure thing. And, you know, a lot of these other guys we're talking about, the Kai Sotos of the world, Zia Todd, I have no idea if they're ready for even a G League environment. Jalen Green will, if he was playing just in a normal G League schedule next season, would be probably the best player in the G League. I think he is a future all-star, that type of guy. He is the perfect person to be the first. And I think what happened was, they recruited him. They said, hey, you get to be the start of this new thing, the face of this exciting new program we got going. And then, you know what, since we want to be as amenable to you as possible, so we'll let you have your little moment. We'll let you announce this, you know, on your Instagram Live and get it out there before we even release details of this. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you know how everyone had been saying we're only paying, you know, $125,000? Yeah, we're going to throw you $500,000. And you can also, because you're going to be a pro, you can start signing endorsement deals. It's already coming out that he's getting seven-figure offer shoe deals. So, you know, how is an 18-year-old, can you turn that down?
Yeah, I mean, what, he could be made, I you know, with that seven-figure shoe deal, what, $2 million next year as an 18-year-old? Yeah. And yeah, that was a good point you bring up, how he announced it on IG Live. He said, I'm joining the new, something like I'm joining the new G League team for Rising. So I don't remember his exact wording.
It was confusing, though, right?
Yeah,
like when you heard it, weren't you kind of confused?
Yeah, when he said that, I'm like, wait. At first I was like, he's got something wrong about this. There is no, they haven't announced a new team outside of the team in Mexico City. Like, I hope he's got his ducks in a row. And then, of course, all the stuff comes out, and I see the Sean Charania tweet, and I'm like, oh, okay, all right, that's what he's talking about. And then it's like, oh, they're going to be in Southern California. The first thing I'm thinking about, well, they used to have the place with the Bakersfield Jam player. Are they going to play there? And then it's like, oh, then it's in L.A. I'm like, oh, are they going to play where the Lakers' old practice facility is? And, like, I'm trying to think about the division alignment and all that stuff. And then, of course, all that goes out the window because, yeah, it's going to be, you know, 10 to 12 exhibition games potentially. You know, I'm not sure if all those details are official yet. But, yeah, as stuff came about, like, it was interesting to kind of get all this information in about, like, a 45-minute span where, someone like me, I had no idea that all this was kind of in the works.
I think they did their best to make this, you know, exciting, to make this newsy. They tried to keep this a secret the best they could, but obviously this had to have been in the works for a while. I went to Napa 3 or so weeks ago and spent an afternoon with Jalen and his parents and his sister and for that bigger profile I talked about earlier. And, you know, whenever I talked to him about his decision, he was very reserved, not giving up a lot of details, but talking to the people around him, it sounded like what I was hearing was he's not seriously considering going overseas. But, you know, when I say to these people, well, Jalen said that he is seriously thinking about going pro. And they're like, yeah, he is. And in retrospect, I'm really mad at myself for not connecting the dots there. But the reason I didn't is because this was not considered a viable thing for players of Jalen's caliber until now. And under the previous model, I don't think the G League would have made sense for someone like Jalen. And so, but now it's like, okay, well, he's not going overseas, but he's going pro. So I guess G League would have, you know, been the obvious thing. And you know, he kind of tried to throw people off the path yesterday. He had an Instagram video where he's a big decision come in, and he had the Memphis hat, the Auburn sweatshirt, and then an NBL shirt. Nothing G League. And someone had actually gone back into his Instagram and found a picture of him in his apartment with a G League hat on the table. And Jalen actually went out and circled the hat and said, someone's photoshopping stuff into my pictures. And then when he made the announcement today, he was wearing that hat.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was talking with David Resnick, he's a Westchester Knicks broadcaster, good guy, friend of mine. He's like, hey, I didn't even know they made G League hats. So I was like, yeah, I haven't seen any of those. He's got a collector's item there. But, it was really interesting to see how that all played out. And kind of like what you were saying, I mean, to kind of get your back on this, like even I've broadcasted the G League for 8 years. I'd like to say I have a good pulse on what's going on. I kind of forgot about the professional path this year because no one was on it. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess this didn't work. Maybe it'll work in the future. But, like, I literally didn't think about it for a good while because it wasn't in use. And so I think a lot of people could be, you know, forgiven for, like, not really thinking about that G League option all that seriously because no one had taken it, and it's been out there for quite some time.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that that had to be disappointing for the G League and for the NBA. And, you know, NBA is the top league in the world. That's not even debatable. And I think there was a little bit of embarrassment when RJ Hampton, LaMelo Ball went to Australia. And you know, everyone's streaming their games online. That got a ton of attention. I'm sure Adam Silver was privately steaming, thinking it makes literally no sense that someone would need to go across the world to do this when we should have everything in our disposal to create that opportunity for them stateside. And, you know, 18-year-olds, you know, generally speaking, they want to do what they're comfortable with. And I'm sure the average 18-year-old, between going down to L.A. and getting a nice apartment or house with their family for a year, as opposed to going to Australia or a country where they don't speak English, I'm sure they'd much rather go to L.A.
Yeah, exactly. And for Jalen Green, what was that, a 2-3 hour drive to Austin, Fresno?
Yeah.
And where he's originally from. So, yeah, I mean, it's even more convenient for a guy like Jalen Green. And from an NBA perspective, and this is, you know, one thing that I've kind of been saying for a while, and, you know, been, you know, as G League players try to get higher salaries, and there has been progress in that with the upping of salaries to $35,000, and hopefully that's a number that continues to go north. But it's like, if you're the NBA, you're the best league in the world, you want to have all the best assets under your umbrella. And so what's the way to do that is, you know, one thing is to raise the pay and, you know, bump that up to $500,000 for this professional pass for this new team, for these high school guys. And you want to have the best prospects possible. Who the best, you know, best non-NBA players, you should want to have them under your umbrella, as many of them as possible. And so today was definitely a big step in the right direction.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm happy about this because I feel like college sports, college basketball in particular, has become such a mockery. It's such a sham. I mean, you have, especially with these one-and-done guys, you have these five-star guys, you know, a lot of them, as has been reported now, as FBI investigations have revealed, are getting money under the table and from different back channels. And, you know, what, to go to a school for a semester, you know, as you know, being in college, you can fail, you can literally not go to a class all semester, and you can still survive that semester and fail out and then just move on and go prepare for the NBA. So the entire idea of these one and dones has really, in a lot of instances, become a charade. And it gets to a point where it's like, let's just stop pretending that these guys are student athletes and let's, like, call it what it is. If your goal is to be in the NBA and you've proven and shown that you have the potential to do that, then just go pursue it and do it. And let's not play any games here, you know? And so I respect someone like Jalen coming out and saying, I want to be a pro and I want to do what's best for me. And I'm not going to pretend like I want to be going to class right now. I mean, if I was in the same situation as him, I would do the exact same thing.
Yeah, I would too. People will say, oh, well, you can't, you know, put a price on the college experience. Well, it's like, well, you're not going to make, you know, X million dollars as a 20-year-old or whatever. Like, you need to go to college. It's like,
a college experience. I mean, these guys are literally there for a semester. You know, it's a lot of them don't even really have to go to class because they know that, they know what their future is. You know, Kevin Love has openly said, he's like, I guess I was technically a comm major at UCLA, but I never went to a class. It's like, yeah, why would you? You know, you knew you were going to be a lottery pick.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like another thing is I don't think this is the death knell of college basketball. But if people are still going to want to cheer on their alma mater, there's still like a lot of really good players who need to, you know, who can't develop into pros until they're 22, 23 years old. Like I think in some respects college basketball will be better off not having these clear cut pros in their system with what came along with it with the FBI investigation and all that. Not to say that that won't continue. Of course it will, but I think as someone who does love college basketball, I've worked in college basketball for plenty of years. That's going to be just fine. I wouldn't be worried if I was an NCAA fan, but at the same time, it's good that these top caliber guys who can be pros as 18-year-olds don't have to deal with that kind of charade, as you say, for a semester.
We're talking about
season.
A pretty small section of people here.
Exactly.
There's a lot more Obi Toppins in the world than there are Jalen Greens, and by that I mean guys who are late blooming, guys who you don't start to look like NBA prospects until they're 20, 21, 22 years old. So we're talking about a pretty small group of people. And the reality is the NBA and the G League are going to be discerning about who they give these contracts to. If some three-star guy is like, hey, I want to do this. I highly doubt the G League is going to say, hey, we're going to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars in you. And one more thing, I think the timing of this is interesting in that the NBA is losing hundreds of millions of dollars, potentially over $1 billion if they don't play any more games this season. There's so many questions up in the air about the coronavirus. The fact that they're doing this right now just shows you how serious they are about this. I mean, this is quite a major financial investment at a time when finances are a real concern.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. It kind of shows the immediacy of this because, like, while people think that the 2022 NBA draft would be the year where you can come straight out of high school, like, that's not
some
a done
deal. Some
people
think next year, even.
Yeah, it's, like, that could happen, but it could also not happen. So, you want to cover your bases. And, it is interesting to see the NBA kind of go all out with this right now. I mean, I love it. Someone who works in the G League, it's only going to make things, give the league more exposure, which is good for everyone. It's really interesting to see. And it gave me like a little hope that obviously we can't predict any of this stuff, but it's like, all right, cool. It kind of gives me a little more hope for next season, assuming there is one. This means there's a better chance. Obviously, we can't say that because we're not all desperate, but it gave me more hope that there would be a next season.
For someone like Jalen to go bank on there being a G League season next season as opposed to flying all the way across the world and moving to Australia. Right. So I think that also it was kind of a perfect storm of factors, but I think that also helped the G League's case and is a strong pitch to these guys who might have been seriously looking at going overseas. It'll be fascinating. And the reality, too, is that this is at its core really kind of an academy system. So even if they couldn't play the full 10 or 12 exhibition slate, they're going to be able to, hopefully, potentially, be training with high-level professional basketball coaches and getting mentorship from high-level professional basketball players. And, at the very least, you would think that scouts would be coming to their practices and that sort of thing. So, thanks, Kevin, man. I appreciate it. That was good stuff.
Yeah. Thank you, Connie. Yeah, really enjoyed it.
Our thanks to Kevin Dana for joining me on the podcast. I always appreciate his insight on the G League. Warriors Off Court is a production of the San Francisco Chronicle. Support Warriors Off Court and the newsroom that creates it by signing up for a Chronicle membership at sfchronicle.com/pod.